With the impeachment vote behind us, we now turn to the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden. But those images of a mob of Trump supporters rampaging through the Capitol still haunt the nation. Frank Vigluzzi is a former FBI Assistant Director of Counterintelligence who has authored a new book entitled The FBI Way, Inside the Bureau's Code of Excellence. He began with his reaction to the images of the mob as Congress was about to certify the results of the presidential election. First of all, what was your own immediate reaction when you saw the Capitol being overrun by the Trump supporters?
My reaction occurred on two levels. First, it was stomach-turning and disgusting, and I was amazed. And then secondly, I realized that I should not be shocked or surprised that this has happened and that this is the of 4 years of a radicalization process that's gone on in our nation.
In terms of your own personal reaction, I assume you've been inside the Capitol. What did you imagine was going on?
Well, not only have I been inside the Capitol numerous times as Assistant Director of Counterintelligence for the FBI, where I had to provide classified briefings to the House and Senate Intel Committees, but I need to tell your listeners that as an FBI agent, even I was not permitted to carry a weapon inside the Capitol. So to see people breaching the Capitol security, killing a Capitol police officer, torturing and trapping another Capitol police officer inside a security door, all while they're doing it under the rubric of a president that they're allegiant to, made me sick to my stomach. And we need answers. We have more questions than answers this morning about the failure of security at that building. Who made the call to not staff that security appropriately? Where was the inner perimeter? Where were the tactical officers? If we can protect the 4th of July fireworks on the Mall every year, if we can declare a Super Bowl, a national security event, and bring all of the three-letter agencies in to defend it, my God, why couldn't we defend the vote to approve the Electoral College vote to preserve our democracy?
How much of this do you think is a breakdown in coordination? I mean, you mentioned in your own book about the issue about coordination when it came to 9/11. How much of this do you think is that kind of problem, particularly given the rise of the militias?
Yeah, this is a nuanced, multi-layered problem here. So the good news, if there's any, is we have learned that the FBI did share their intelligence about violence with the Capitol Police, with the Washington Metropolitan Police. Even the NYPD intel unit shared their similar concerns with the Capitol Police. So this was not so much an intelligence failure, but a security failure. And we need answers as to who made the decisions, at what level, that the National Guard would not be fully deployed, that there wouldn't be tactical resources, that we wouldn't activate Maryland and Virginia and other agencies to come in as we do for 4th of July fireworks. And why wouldn't we do that? And you have to start wondering if the shots were being called by people at the Pentagon who've been replaced by President Trump because they needed to be in place, whether or not the allegations are true that members of Congress gave tours to organizers of the insurrection in the days before the riot. All of this needs to be investigated. And while we're pondering all these questions, the FBI is racing to wrap up the people who did this and to prevent the next act of domestic terrorism as we head toward the inauguration.
How confident are you that they will be able to secure the inauguration, there won't be some kind of incident? And I mean, it does seem to me if there were a large group of people coming to disrupt the inauguration, that should be far more visible than, say, if it were only a few people with some kind of deadly weapon.
So there's a couple of challenges here. First, I believe you'll see, and boy, we're already seeing it play out in the District of Columbia, a very hardened target, a hard perimeter. The military now sleeping inside the Capitol. You'll see armored personnel carriers and trucks and barriers and snipers on rooftops. And so that will become a hard target. That doesn't mean we're not going to see an ugly attempt to breach that perimeter, but I think it will hold. Here's the bad news, though. When bad guys see a hardened perimeter, a hard target, they start looking for the soft target. And hence, you've seen this week the FBI bulletin warning every state house and capital in the country that there is an articulated plan and threat to commit violence at those much softer targets. So I think we'll get the inauguration done. I think it'll happen without major incident inside the perimeter, but I think the soft target threat is the highest it's been since 9/11.
How much of responsibility do you think the president holds in terms of not only the takeover of the Capitol, but even as he moves away from his position as president of the United States, he's still going to be active politically. There are a lot of people who are going to be listening to him and the kinds of things that he said, particularly about the election. What kind of impact do you see all that playing out in the future?
Yeah, the threat moving forward is daunting. You think this is bad now, but how about a president, former president, that now is unchecked with no guardrails, who perhaps starts his own digital media platform that he runs, and now that platform becomes an amplified extremist echo chamber where people develop conspiracy theories and violence plans, and maybe the FBI and others can't even find them because their platforms have been taken down by big tech, and they feel they've been silenced. And so the impeachment we just saw, the inauguration, the taking down of platforms further emboldens and enrages already radicalized people. We've got to figure out how to deal with this as a nation moving forward.
Finally, taking a look at the difficulty with dealing with domestic terrorists as opposed to foreign terrorists, there are these constitutional issues involved, constitutional rights, which don't necessarily apply when you're looking at something overseas. How do you see those two meshing, this idea? On the one hand, you got to deal with terrorism, domestic terrorism, and yet on the other hand, you certainly have constitutional issues.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, because this is a time where we all need to be educated about what is against the law and what is not yet against the law. So here's the problem. If you change the religion of the people who entered that Capitol building from Christian Islam, you've got a different dynamic in the law. If you change their mission from disrupting Congress to establishing a caliphate or violent jihad, we've got a different law. So we have laws against international terrorism. Those laws give the FBI the power to get out in front of a threat. Why? Because if you're designated a terrorist group or individual, if you associate with that group in a chat room, in a meeting, in a website, in communication, you come under the full scrutiny of law enforcement with wiretaps, informants, undercover agents that can identify a threat before it plays out. We have nothing like that for domestic terrorism. There is no law against domestic terrorism. You see these people being arrested for trespass, theft of Nancy Pelosi's mail, assault on an officer, but you will not see them arrested for terrorism and sent to prison for the rest of their lives, as we do with international terrorism. We've been successful in preventing the next act after 9/11 of international terrorism because of those investigative tools. We don't have those. We need to have a national discussion as to the degree of civil liberties protection and privacy that needs to take place and the degree we need to protect against our own population.
Former FBI Assistant Director of Counterintelligence, Frank Figluzzi. This is Don Rush for Delmarva Public Media.